It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and it is our privilege to spend this half hour with you. We hope that you have your Bibles in front of you, if you do, and we would like for you to turn with us now, if you will, to Jonah chapter 3. Over to Jonah chapter 3, and again, while you're turning there, we'll give you the brief outline here so that you can have this in your minds as you study along with us here in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 shows Jonah running away from God. Chapter 2, Jonah running to God. Chapter 3, Jonah running with God. And then in chapter 4, Jonah running ahead of God. Now we have found in our past messages here, we have likened Jonah and the death, burial here, and resurrection that Jonah had. He died, he went into the paradise side of Sheol. He cried out unto the Lord there. God there, therefore, had the fish spit him out, vomit him up, and give him a resurrection. Jonah had died. Now we pick up the story here in chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the vows of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, it vomited up Jonah upon dry land. And here, just prior to going into chapter 3, we find out that Jonah, as we're likened this last week unto the spiritual life of the believer, when we are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian now, we are dead. In James, it tells us there that if a man say that he hath faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. And if you do not have the works in your life to back up your testimony of your faith in Christ, your testimony will fall upon dead ears. You're just as dead as though you had never existed. No one's going to listen to you. But notice the restoration of Jonah now. First of all, he admitted this. He said in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. How many people have you had, if you're a Christian now, and maybe you're in a backslidden condition, have you had come to you when you were serving the Lord and tell you, oh, you know, is it really worth it to go to church? After all, you're going a little bit overboard, fella or ma'am. Sometimes your relatives get on you and they'll come to visit. And if you have a testimony, you'll put the Lord first. You'll go to church. They'll be there when you get back. What a testimony that is. But how many times do you have relatives and relation that'll try to make fun of you, saying, well, can't you just stay home for me? Or, you know, why are you going to such extremes here with this Bible thing, you know, and with the Lord? And what it is, we find out that these are lying vanities. People are going to do anything to try to get you to quit serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out some of the old friends you had, they're going to try to make fun of you. They're going to try to draw you in to go out and do things they want to do. Anything they can possibly do to get you to quit serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, it is the first start of troubles in your life. The first start of relationship that is not what it was when you were serving the Lord. I don't know how many times that I've talked to people, and you know, just being in church on Sunday morning, what a difference it makes in the attitude of the husband toward the wife and the wife toward the husband. But here we find out that Jonah said, he said, I realized, he was honest with himself and he realized the problem. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition this morning and you need to realize what the problem is. You need to realize that maybe somebody has pulled you off course of serving the Lord, and maybe realize that these were lying vanities. And we find that Jonah said, you know what? I believe that stuff. And when somebody comes to you and say, is it worth it all? Why are you doing all this for the Lord? Why are you doing this? Why? Things would be the same if you didn't. But then when you quit doing those things, you quit going to church, you quit using your talents for the Lord, you find that things go to pieces pretty fast. And it doesn't take very long for it to do it. That you have believed lying vanities. Remember this, if you're serving the Lord, Satan is not going to let you alone. He's going to try anything he can through any avenue, any approach to get you out of church. If you are a singer, to get you to quit singing. If you're in the choir, to get you out of the choir. If you're a Sunday school teacher, to get you discouraged from teaching Sunday school. No matter what your job is and what your talent is, if you're serving the Lord, Satan is not going to let you alone. And you need to realize that as a Christian. And he'll come with all kind of lies and things to get you out of God's service, to get you unfaithful to the Lord. And he'll implant in your mind, look what you're missing out there. Look at all the fun going on. Look what you're missing. And then when you go after that, when you're siphoned into that, and you're taken away from the Lord, from church, from serving him, from using your talents that you have, you see God wants to use you. But Satan is not going to let you alone. Jonah realized this. He said, I'll tell you this, I believe those pack of lies. I believe those lies and those vanities. You and I as a Christian must be on our toes all the time to realize that there are people out there that are going to try to do anything to get you away from the Lord. Now, Jonah realized that, and he'd went the other route. He died. And I'll tell you, it's terrible to be in a backslidden condition. It is terrible to have the feeling of not having the presence of God, knowing that I'm so far away I don't even feel like praying to the Lord. He's 10 million miles away because we've left Him. And what a horrible feeling it is in this life, even as a Christian, to be in a backslidden condition, and the next thing God or old Satan will come in and try to tell you, look, you lost your salvation, you got to get saved all over again, and all these kind of lies and vanities come in. Jonah said, I believe that pack of lies, but not anymore. And then he said here, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. One thing about it, I don't care how far backslidden you are as a Christian this morning, if you'll call upon the Lord, He'll hear you. He says, first of all, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, Lord, look at me. If you're in that condition today, I am in a backslidden condition. I haven't been faithful to the Lord. I've got talents I know God's given me, but I've taken them and used them all for the world. I haven't used them the way that you wanted me to use them for your glory. And you'll find out if you just call upon the Lord that He's there. Jonah did. He said, I remembered. Do you remember how good things were going when you were serving the Lord? You remember how nice it was to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Do you remember the kind of relationship you had between your husband and your wife and your children when you're serving the Lord? Do you remember when things even went bad then that you could call upon the Lord and how He's seen you through your trials and your troubles and your testings? And God will do that. But the first thing you got to do is realize the condition you're in. You believe lies that got you in and drawn you away from the Lord, and then call upon the Lord, and He's always there, just as Jonah did. And then in verse 9, he said, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So Jonah was honest, and he said, I'll sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. Dear Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Dear Lord, thank you for restoring me to fellowship again. And in Psalms chapter 51, when David prayed, he said, restore the joy of my salvation. The joy of it. You're still saved, but the joy is not there. The happiness is not there. You have no one to turn to when the trials and the testings and the problems come. But then restoring that salvation, the joy of it. And just as old Jonah said here, he said, I'm going to sacrifice to thee with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that even though I've been unfaithful to you, you haven't been unfaithful to me. And then there was a sincere part on Jonah's part, I should say, a sincere desire to do what God wanted him to do. Now, you can say, from now to kingdom come, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. But until you decide to walk in the light in John chapter 1, as He is in the light, there is no fellowship. And then begin. Has it been a long time since you've been attending God's services? God wants you here. Things are not going to go right when you're a Christian. You're not in a good Bible-believing church. That's the first place to start. Second place is start to read your Bible and to do it on a daily basis. The third thing is to pray to the Lord and have a communion and a relationship and a fellowship with Him. How would it be if you lived with your wife and you never talked? It's a horrible relationship. And I guess some that I've counseled, that periodically that happens. They go a week and won't even talk. You know, stare each other to death, but won't even talk. Well, that's no kind of a relationship. And God says, I want to have fellowship with you, and you can have fellowship with me, and I've written the Bible here. I want to talk to you. I want you to read it. I want you to hear what I've got to say. I want you to see what I'm saying to you. I want you to believe the promises that I made to you. I'll help you. I'll get you through whatever circumstance you're going through. I'm on your side. After all, if I sent my only begotten Son into the world and gave my only begotten Son, that just believing on Him, I promise you'd never perish but have everlasting life, then how shall I not with Him freely give you all things? And the Lord tells us in Psalms, we said so many times, in Psalms 37, we'll commit our way unto the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But Jonah said here, he said, I'm going to pay that which I have vowed. Do you know what? Have you dedicated yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a voice and a talent that God has given you, a beautiful voice? You know what? I'll tell you this, God doesn't want your second best, He wants your best. And He wants you to use that voice. If you're in a church, you're not in the choir, you should be in the choir. And I'll tell you this, you're not going to be happy until you're using the God-given talents. And if you don't use them, I'll tell you this, you could lose them. There are many people that I've seen have talents for the Lord, and not use them, and you know what? Lose those talents. It just seems like they just don't have it anymore because they're not serving the Lord. They're not using them for God's glory. But Jonah said, I'll tell you this, Lord, I'm going to pay that which I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. It vomited Jonah upon dry land. And you'll find out this, that you may be a dead Christian. Your life may be so dead, it's not influencing anybody. You may be so far in a backslidden condition, but if you do what Jonah did, and here's what he did. He said, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice unto you. I'm going to pray to the holy temple. I'm going to pray to the Lord. I'm going to thank you for being so kind, so gracious, and so faithful with me. And just understanding, even though I've been in a backslidden condition, you kept me alive, you've been with me. And Lord, you're standing right there right now, ready to take me back and accept me. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done to you. I'm going to start walking in the light from here on. And I'll tell you this, you're going to find out that you're going to have a resurrection in your life, spiritually speaking now. You're going to have a new joy in your life. And in John chapter 15, all the way through the chapter, the Lord says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, and then the joy that is there for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Jonah chapter 3, here we go. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, I think this is one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. You know why? Aren't you glad the Lord came unto you the second time? Aren't you glad he didn't just wipe you off of the list the first time and say, hey, I can't use that guy ever again. I cannot use that lady ever again. And here the Lord is standing, even when we're in a backslidden condition, maybe for a month, maybe for a year, maybe for 5 years. Maybe you haven't even been to church. And here the Lord is, he's coming unto you the second time, maybe the third time, maybe the fourth time. But you know something? One of these days, time is going to run out. But I'm glad he came unto Jonah the second time, because it sure shows me something, that even when I fail the Lord says, Max Yount, you know what? Let me give you another chance. I love you so much. And he's saying the same thing to you. I don't care how much you've forsaken the Lord. Right now, you have another chance. And I think this is a good principle here. As much as and as far as Jonah run from the Lord said in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, look, Jonah, I've had an awful lot of patience with you, but I haven't changed my mind. I still want you to go to Nineveh. And you know what? The Lord hasn't changed his mind about you either, because he loves you and he died for you. And he has a task and a work for you to do in God's service. Maybe some of you listening, maybe God, you felt the call that God maybe wanted to call you to the pastorate, to be a preacher, to be a minister. Maybe he's called you to be a youth director. Maybe he's called you to be a minister of music and go to prepare yourself and to give yourself to full-time service. Maybe he's called you to be a missionary. Maybe you're listening right on the radio this morning, and maybe God's just called you back to church so that you can be a testimony in the local church right here where you live. So when people ask you, where do you go to church at? Well, I go out there at Faith Baptist Church, or I go to this church. Good, sound, Bible-believing church. I'd like for you to come. You see, God doesn't take everyone into the ministry, but God has a task for everyone to do. You can be a tremendous witness right where you're at, right where you're at, right where you work, whether it be the lady in the office, whether it be the housewife with the neighbors, whether it be the man at work. You have a tremendous opportunity to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. And God has a service for you to do. God has a task for you to do. God wants you to be a witness for him. And God came unto Jonah the second time. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. But God never changed his mind about what he wanted Jonah to do. And God hasn't changed his mind about what he wants you to do, because he wants you to serve him. And after all, how in the world could I do less than give him my best after all the Lord's done for me? And we find out also in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know what? We're not ashamed of our parents. We're not ashamed of our children. Well, I should say sometimes they get up in the teenage state. Sometimes we are a little ashamed of them, but they're still our children. We're proud of them. We love them. And you know what? We ought to be just as loving and willing to speak up for Jesus Christ and not be ashamed for him, of him, because he gave his life to save ours. Now we read on down and find in verse 3, here's the fellowship when it was restored. And Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now Jonah did something here, and he not only confessed it in chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9, but now he did something about it. And you know, in your life, you may be talking to the Lord, realizing things are going bad, things are not going good, and they won't if you're not serving the Lord. You're going to get in all kind of trouble out there. Things are not going to go good. But then you pray to the Lord. Now the Lord says, I haven't changed my mind. I want you to get up, and I want you to start doing things. I want you, first of all, I want you in church. You're not going to have a testimony if you're not in there feeding on the Word of God, having fellowship with other Christians. I don't care what you do as a supplement. You're going to fall short of doing what God wants you to do. In Hebrews, he said, I do not want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some have, and forgetting my exhortation to you, as some have in like manner. And you need that. You need a good church home. When people say, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Lord? Are you witness to Him? They'll say, well, where do you go to church at? You need to be identified. You need to be a member of a local assembly that's preaching the Bible. So it will add influence upon. Somebody says, well, I go to this church, but I don't belong. Well, why don't you belong? Well, I don't have enough confidence in it. That's the first thing they're going to believe. You say, I'm a member of this church here. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. If you want to hear the Bible taught, you come. Or to your church. Any other good, fundamental, sound, Bible-believing church. God wants you to do that as a testimony. And then we find out here that Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, and brother, did he let it go. That would have taken courage, would it not? And you know God wants you to have courage to witness for Him. He wants you to get some tracts and start passing it out and let people know that you're a Christian. He said, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, all the way through the Bible, 40 is the number of testing. You know, maybe this is a day that you're listening, that it's going to be a message to you and a testing whether you're going to listen to what the Lord has to say to you or not. The Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Maybe the Lord's coming unto you the second time. We come over here to John chapter 4, verse 35, and you know it says this, say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you that lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And you know what? There are a lot of souls out there on their way to hell that are ready to be harvested, that you're going to reach that nobody else will. That maybe the preacher won't reach. That maybe your neighbor won't reach. But there are people that you know that you can have a tremendous influence on and tell them about Jesus Christ. And they see a change in your life. And they see that you're serving the Lord and see a testimony. When you tell them that you're saved, that they'll believe it. Your words will not fall on deaf ears. You do have works. If a man say that he have faith, have not works, his faith is dead. But I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's what God wants you to do. You're saved by grace, but we're created unto good works after we're saved. God wants to change your life after you're saved. Not to be saved, but after you are saved. He wants a transformation. He wants you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. God wants you. He loves you. And He promises you'll have joy if you'll put Him first. We find out here that old Jonah went down there. He had 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, he said, Noah, I want you to go and prepare the ark. And he said, yet for 120 days. And then I'm going to destroy this world with a flood. And you know what? All the way through the Bible, when you begin to examine that God set a time limit here, He set a time limit there. Now, you know, I don't know the time limit in your life, and you don't know it in mine. But I'll tell you this, God has a time limit. He may come unto you the second time, the third time, the fourth time. But sometime the time's going to be up, friend, and it's going to be all over with. You know, while there still is time, the Lord wants to make something beautiful out of your life. He'll help you from your backslidden condition. He'll bring you back and restore you to the joy of your salvation. But you got to do like Jonah. It's not enough just to confess it. It's time now to get up, and that's exactly what Jonah did in verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh, and then in verse 3, so Jonah arose. Quite a contrast from chapter 1. The Lord said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, but Lord. But not in chapter 3. Jonah rose and he went. There was no more buts, no more excuses. It was time to do something to serve the Lord so that God can bless you. And God wants to do that. Well, I see our time's going this morning. It's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We hope that you'll take a moment, sit down and write us. And we'd love to hear from you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.